stand by.
Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. And now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. And yes, going from where you are to where you want to be sounds like the trip that I want to take, but in order to do that, we really have to stop running around all over the place and take a deep breath and step into a place where we know where we want to be. Because how are you going to get where you want to be if you don't know where it is that you want to be? So that's the number one thing that is really, really important about Tippy Talk. Today, as we promised you, Linda Schwartz is going to join us again. She's returning to finish what we started. And we started it when I was on the road in Klamath Falls, which is a little town which I bet you've never heard of. But that little town is so far out of the way that we had tons of technical difficulties. We had echoes. We had just not hearing each other. We had a problem getting online. And it was on top of all that, it was snowing. And that gave us more challenges. The Wi-Fi wasn't working so great, and neither was anything else. But we did get a few really, really good points and a lot of great information from our conversation with Linda. And now she is coming back with even more information. So stop running around for 5 minutes. It's time to step into the Tippy Zone and relax. Take a deep breath and let's enjoy as we talk about the number one most important thing in your life. What is the number one most important thing in anybody's life that they wish for? Well, don't think about it too much, because I'm going to tell you the number one most important thing is your health. Because no matter what else you have in life, if your body is not functioning at a healthy, optimal capacity, honestly, you have nothing. And so we definitely want to make sure that if you are healthy, that you stay that way. And if you're not feeling that healthy, that you might want to get back to being healthy. And I know that there are a lot of different routes to health. And obviously, we are lucky enough to have our medical industry advanced to the point where they really do have so much technological advancement to save people from so many illnesses. But before you go to a health professional and before you go to all those state-of-the-art technological, I guess I would call it medication, that have a lot of side effects, definitely do have benefits, but do have a lot of side effects. So before you go over there, you might want to try something more natural, something more ancient, and something that has worked for many, many years. And that's what Linda has actually dedicated her life to, helping people find that natural path to health, so that really at the end, maybe you might not even need a doctor because you might be able to keep yourself in good shape. We're not saying that, and I really want to be clear that we're not saying that doctors don't have the proper place. And the reason I'm really stressing that is because the medical people really are insistent that you say that. And the truth is, when you have to call 911, go ahead and call 911. But when somebody like Linda Schwartz dedicates their life to keep you on optimum health, to show you so many different ways and so many different venues that can really keep you invigorated and younger and more energetic and healthier, then it would be really silly not to at least listen, take advantage, and live a life that has got so much more. So I'm really grateful that Linda agreed to come back and to actually finish talking about what we started talking about. And I will tell you, enjoy it, and then Linda will have a surprise for you on how you can get more of it, if it is what you want. So welcome, Linda Schwartz. I really appreciate you returning, and I'm really, really glad that you came back, because really I was not in a place where a great reception was there, as you know.
Hi, Tippi.
Hi.
Hey. I wasn't sure if the connection is good. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed our last interview as well, despite technical difficulties. So I'm really glad I have the chance to, that we can continue where we left off and give more value to our listeners here.
Yeah, I just want you to know that you are always welcome here. Every time you have an update, every time you find something new, because somebody that dedicates their life to keeping people healthy, which as far as I'm concerned is really the most important thing in life, I definitely keep my door open. So you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you. It really is my passion to help people lead a healthier lifestyle, change their lifestyle, adjust it, whatever it takes in order for them to lead a happier and, as a result, a more content life. You know, as you say, what is the most important in life? It is health, being healthy and happy. But how happy are we if we're not fully healthy? So
Exactly. So if you want to hear more about Linda, what we talked about last time, then I suggest you just scroll down and go to the link before and listen to that before you come back and listen to this, because we're not going to go over what we talked about. And over there, you'll find out a little bit about the different kind of things that Linda does, which we will talk about here, but not like before. So go ahead and listen to the one that we had before, and then you come back. And you'll get more of it, and you'll appreciate it a million times more. And so what we didn't cover last time, and just to clarify a little bit, let me tell them a little bit about what you do, and maybe you can help me. Your title is a natural health consultant, which basically definitely has to do with health. You're also a Reiki master, which you can explain what that means in one sentence. You're a Thai massage therapist, which is, I guess, a certain form of massage therapy. And you also use aromatherapy. You do an energy healing with essential oils, which I love because, as it happens to be, the essential oils that you use, which is Young Living. I have a friend, Paula, in Los Angeles, and she's an amazing person, and she's really very healthy, and she's always... And she's the one that told me to use Young Living. Is that the essential oil you use?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Young Living. She's told me that she would never, ever allow any other oil on her body. And the reason she said that she would use specifically these oils that you use, and I'm so happy that you chose to use this, is because not only is the oil done in the most purified, and you really know that you're getting pure oil. Not only that, but it's even further than that, because they make sure that the soil that they grow this crop on is also not corrupted by previous maybe pesticide or previous stuff. So it's not just the product itself that is grown organically, which is great, but the soil that is used, and taking precaution to make sure that it's used with the right soil, I think that's the kind of purity that I want on my body.
I completely agree. And it's correct what you say. And it is, again, that's the foundation. Where does the plant grow? This is where the seeds are planted in. It's like with ourselves, you know, what do we put in our body? How, what makes us grow? What does nourish, what nourishes our organs, our body, but also our soul and mind?
Exactly.
So important what we put in, that determines the output that we can give, the energy that we have, the love that we can share, the thoughts. The better we function and the higher the quality is that we use to fuel our body, the better is our output, the better is our quality of life.
Exactly. And so there's more than what you do than what I said. So there is also the raindrop technique, which is something else that you do, which honestly I'm not sure exactly 100% what that means. I have to go back and listen to what you said. You also deal help people figure out a workout regimen. That's, I guess, a physical workout regimen and a nutritional regimen, a nutritional dietary and counseling and the health balance in life. And really, that sounds like you would need 5 people to do all that. How is it that you have so much knowledge?
Well, I have been really studying these things for a long, long time, and I keep learning. I really see life in general as a continuous teaching, continually adding knowledge and skills to my work, to my repertoire. It helps me in life, it helps me with my clients, but what it really does is to help me approach it holistically, you know, that we really can see from what angle. I don't want to just look at a person from one direction. You know, I have to see what else is going on. If you are sick, there might be many reasons, but I need to know, what are you eating? What are you drinking? Are you sleeping enough?
Right.
Are you constantly running around? Are you stressed? So it's more than one factor that determines why you might be sick. Maybe everything is fine, but you're very, very sad. Maybe somebody died, and you don't realize that is that the grief actually causes a certain condition. And I found it out the hard way. You know, I got. I don't know if you'd like me to share a bit more of a personal story.
Yeah, share. Tell me how you found out.
Mm-hmm.
The hard way. The hard way is always the good way. So yeah.
Okay, I'm trying not to get too emotional about it, because it was really a big life changer for me. I was always interested in more natural things, and you briefly already mentioned that I do practice Reiki. Reiki is a form of energy healing that originates in Japan, and I found this method of transmitting energy, where I'm basically the channel, I'm receiving the energy but passing it on to the client. I started learning about it in 93, maybe a little bit before, but then I started practicing it in 93. So that one was always with me, and I liked it. I learned more about it. I gave Reiki to myself, to my friends. But I never thought that it could be a profession, or that I could make a living only working with natural methods. I really took the classical route, went to school, studied, and so on. And I was so involved with my left brain activity, which deals with all the intellectual things, which is really the logic side of us, and the material side, basically the world we live in is mainly left brain. All the emotions, all the creativity, that's all the right side. But I was primarily working with my left brain, and I was really neglecting the other side. So I kept working. And at the time, I was living in Paris. I went back to school, completely different field. I went to study media and communication, as well as business.
Wow, completely different.
Very different. And I still did practice Reiki. I used it for me. I used it for my family and friends who needed it. But career-wise, I was pursuing something completely opposite. And I had just quit a job at a pharmaceutical company, which on top is also very opposite of what I do now. So I did get the chance, though, to learn about pharmaceutical drugs, about how the pharmaceutical industry works, what their challenges are, what are the good things that they bring to us, but also what are the maybe not so good things, you know, what are the dependencies that they bring to us, to patients, to clients. You know, we have, as you mentioned, there are many good things, but there are also side effects. So I had the opportunity to learn more about drugs and the industry itself. Then I went back to school, but all that, for me, it was all left brain, it was all logic, was far from natural healing. After a few years, only focusing on that, my lung just collapsed. That's pretty much what happened.
My lung just collapsed?
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in Paris at the time. No, actually...
Where were you physically? Like in the street, in the car? Were you driving?
You know what?
Were you eating?
Yeah. That was the most surprising, and that's why I didn't notice. I woke up with it.
Oh.
I was in southern Germany. Luckily, drove from Paris to southern Germany, visiting some family members there. I woke up and started, wanted to do my morning exercises. I have a nice little routine there. And I had problems doing that. And I thought, oh, maybe I slept wrong. And, you know, sometimes you wake up and something's just wrong, but could be you were laying on the wrong side or something. I didn't realize, I thought, okay, maybe just some back pain. I wanted to walk around. My breathing was slower. I couldn't breathe as well. Short of breath, walking was very slow, was a bit painful, but not as painful that I would say, like, oh, I need to go to the hospital. No, I was still functioning.
Really?
And so I thought, okay, let me just see. So I walked around. I thought, let me wait until I get back to Paris. If I'm not well by Monday, I'm going to, you know, look for a doctor. So for a whole weekend, I walked around on one lung.
Wow.
That's crazy, no?
Crazy.
And, when
it's
I
something
finally
I
went,
would do, but it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's me. Like, I don't easily go with every little thing.
It's
I
like,
don't just
yeah,
go
if it doesn't go away in 3 days, we'll call the doctor, you know?
Yep. So finally, I went to the doctor on Monday because it did not get better. I was still short of breath, and I was like, something is not right. He listened to my lungs and found out, oh, I don't hear anything. He sent me to X-ray. He said, sorry, but lung is completely collapsed. You're right. I'm like, you didn't faint.
Wow.
He's like, what happened? Usually people, they faint immediately. I'm like, no, I was walking around. And he's like, wow, you must be in good shape otherwise. I said, yeah, I go running for an hour every day. I was in top shape at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know.
Well, you were in top shape, except your lung collapsed.
Exactly. And there was no, he didn't know. He said, sorry, I have to get you to hospital and emergency right away. So on a Monday evening, I was there at the American Hospital in Paris. waiting for the surgeon to come. I was lucky that he was still there. He was still in the house. They checked up on me. They said, okay, we don't know yet the reason why. But we said, usually it happens to tall, large, to tall, young adult men. And I was neither of that. I didn't fit in
everything you're not.
Exactly. Everything I'm not. I'm a pretty short woman, and I wasn't that
not
young
a man.
Anymore. I'm not a man either. So all that didn't. And he asked me, do I play the trombone? Do I do anything where I exert a lot of pressure on my lung? I said, no, not that either. Were you in an accident? Because these things can happen in an accident with a shock. I said, no. So I couldn't find any explanations yet, you know. I said, we have to keep looking. But first of all, we have to, like, get your lung back functioning. So what they do is a very kind of painful procedure. They give you anesthesia, but I think it didn't really kick in with me. And they take a big needle, the ones that they look similar as the ones, you know, when you make close yourself when you with those needles, when you make a scarf
mm-hmm.
or a blouse,
mm-hmm.
the
uh-huh.
knitting needles. So it's about size, and they basically push it in between your ribs.
Oh my God.
Yes, I screamed.
Why usually they have push it in? What's the point of them pushing?
Then they put in a tube. They put in a tube, they push it in, and with sub pressure, they try to inflate the lung again. Because our lung is like a bag. So imagine you have a balloon in there, and it just falls together.
Wow.
So when the lung collapses, what happens, there is a little bubble that bursts, and everybody has tiny little bubbles on it, and it's normal. But for some people, these bubbles burst. So the bubble bursts, and basically that's when, you know, it's like the balloon just collapses. So what we have to do is blow that balloon up again. So you can only go from outside and with sub pressure, basically get it back up. Imagine like a suction. So that's what they did. And then at the same time, you have to breathe, though. You have to breathe, and they do it. And that was so painful. I thought I couldn't, I didn't know how to breathe. Very, very painful experience. So I thought that was, but no, but there wasn't even that. So it happened. They said, okay, we'll do this. Stay here for a few days. We're going to monitor. Okay, it's fine. After a few days, I went back home and said, okay, let us know if it happens again. Usually the chance is like 50-50 it happens again in the next few weeks.
Oh,
a few
God.
Weeks passed, it happened again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the second time I said, sorry, I have to do a small incision and, you know, we got to look at the lung through the microscope, you know. So I had a little surgery. He went in. Mm-hmm. I looked with the microscope. He found a few little bubbles that he removed, and he said, it should be fine now. I fixed me back up. Not even 2 weeks later, the lung collapsed again.
Oh, my God.
I was scared. I went back to the surgeon. He's like, I don't want to see you anymore. What are you doing back here? He said, okay, let's try what we did the first time and just pull the lung back up. So they did that. He said, okay, should be fine. He sends me home. I go home. I take a shower. Nothing, no big movement. Lung collapsed again. That time. Now I got really scared. So the fourth time, I was scared for my life, to be honest. I went back and he said, I'm very sorry, but this time I have to open you up a little bit more and look with my own eyes. So this was a really big surgery. And thinking about it doesn't make me
scary.
It actually is. So what he did is really, he opened it up. He said he removed the whole pleura, wherever he could remove it from the right lung. And the pleura is the layer that is between the lung and your rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
Removing that and abrasing the lung, a little bit like with a knife. Imagine like you have like a like an orange or fruit or like a something. If you abrase it, it starts bleeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that own blood, so and then the pleura is already removed. Everything is of course inflamed, but that with your own blood, it now can stick to the rib cage. So my lung is kind of. It stuck to the rib cage, and then he put some staples in. So that was the procedure that they did on the after the fourth time. And yeah. He said, "So this should really hold it. This is like the most extreme measure." And luckily, it did hold until now. Mm-hmm. It's about 8 years ago, almost 9 years. But yeah. It was a very, very painful experience. The first time they put up the lung, I thought, that's painful. But no, when I woke up after the ER, mm-hmm. And I was a few weeks, actually, I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was the most painful thing I have ever experienced. Like, this is a pain. Every motion, every little thing you do is painful. I had 3 different pain medications. I had an epidural, and I could, like, press another button where I could, like, get extra shots, but only, I think, 1 per hour or every other hour. And as I said before, I usually have a very big pain threshold, but I used it all. So this really painful experience, I was laying in the hospital many nights. I could not sleep, not because I wasn't exhausted. Sometimes it was the pain, but it was really what happened. They still didn't find a medical reason. They said there are little bubbles, but everybody has those. There was not like a big hole in my lung. That would have been explanation. There was no real medical explanation. I said, how does it happen? He said, sorry, you're not in the category. It's not this, it's not that. Everything they go through, they just didn't know. But he managed to fix it. However, I started thinking, what is going on with my body? I've been eating healthy. I've been exercising. I'm doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this happened to me. So I really had to reevaluate my life and see what are all the other factors. So I had to look not only at the medical explanation, not only physical. I had to look at my body holistically. Which is what I'm doing nowadays with Klang. I really had to look not only nutrition, all that was fine with me, but I had to look at what's up with my emotions, what is with my mind, what is my heart, how has my body been trying to tell me, which are the signals, what did I ignore, how come I didn't see this? And I realized that, one part was really, I only focused on my left brain. I only focused on logic. I completely ignored my emotions, my grief. Because grief is often expressed actually through the lungs. Like every emotion is actually expressed through an organ or a function in the body, a limb. So everything that we experience is expressed in our body. And if somebody wants to like learn more about this, one what they can look up is Louise L. Hay. She has dealt a lot with that. A very interesting study.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a side note. So what I realized, what I completely neglected, is personal grief that I was dealing with. My father had passed away about 1.5 years prior to my lungs collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not allow myself to properly grieve about it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of tried to be strong and just brush it away. And I always had a challenging childhood in the sense and challenging connection with my father,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of resolved. I thought I did resolve it. before he passed away, but there were things that were not addressed, and this grief that was there, and actually the sadness that was there, that I didn't allow myself to live, that just manifested in my body and culminated in my lung collapsing.
Wow.
But I found it out really the hard and very, very painful way.
And well, it's amazing that you found it and you found the connection and you know, you were able to adjust it and deal with it. That in itself is pretty amazing. But that was a very painful way to do it. I happen to know exactly what it feels like when your lungs collapse, because like you said, one of the ways that your lungs can collapse is if you have an accident. And when I had my big car accident, both of my lungs collapsed.
Wow.
And I couldn't breathe. And I know how that needle feels when it goes into your stomach. And they also stuck another one to drain the fluids, which is now in between my lungs, so that my lungs can return to function. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. I couldn't cough. If, God forbid, somebody made me laugh, I thought I was going to die. But both my lungs collapsed. So I can't even imagine the pain that you went through when it happened over and over and over again. So I think really for you to be able to sit back and say, okay, what have I done that I can fix and go ahead and fix it and then help other people look, that's an amazing result. Even though it's a really bad, painful way to get there, but it's an amazing result.
Yeah, because it did really lead me back to my passion and to what I like doing and to work with people. I mean, I did complete my study. You know, I was so, when I start something, I want to end it. So I did complete the study. I moved to New York. I did a master even in the same similar field. And because that's what I did. And I thought like, okay, I need to earn a living somehow. So
right.
I ended up working at a public relations and advertising agency, which many, many women or men, but mostly women, like it's their dream job. They want to do that. And I was there and I was doing it. It was okay. I learned something, but I wasn't passionate about it. And
right.
I didn't feel that I was really contributing to the world. I knew like I have so much more to give. And I wanted to give and share and make a difference in the world, make a difference in people's lives, leave, and not be part of, I felt like a zombie, you know. I just felt like, okay, I go there, do this, that, but, you know, pretty much just be a little part in the machine where I didn't know if that machine is actually producing something of value for people.
Right. And that's important to you because that's the kind of person you are. You need to have a purpose in life. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy. That's just who you are. So what was your conclusion out of all of that? What did you decide to do?
I decided to, while I was still working there, I already started. I took the courses to be a Thai massage therapist. I looked for Reiki teachers again. I continued my studies with Reiki. When you shift your mind and you think about what's next and what you want to do, and once you open yourself, these things also start coming into your life. So I started doing this. And then I met the person who introduced me also to aromatherapy and essential oils. So I started also looking at plants again more. And learned more about the essential oils. I went through every workshop I could. I looked for webinars. I soaked up everything as a sponge. And it's like, and when I left that company, when I quit the job, I'm like, first I started looking for other means. I thought, I was worried about the money, this and that. And it didn't work out. And I thought, you know what? I have to just take the jump, put my feet in cold water, and just start my own practice and really use my knowledge now. Apply my knowledge, pass it on, work with people, and really follow my passion and help other people prevent getting sick? Or if you're already sick, like, what can we do on a natural way? What can we do holistically? I know that there are so many other people out there who have the same, who have similar issues. They work, they try to be healthy, especially in New York. Everybody runs to the gym. Everybody tries to eat, you know, and then from the gym, then you have a break at work, you go, you get a salad. But then most people go and they eat the salad and keep working on their computer. They don't take a break. They don't get fresh air. They don't sit in the sun and soak up some sunlight and vitamin D. They just keep going. So they think they make everything right. And then suddenly they're sick and I say, well, what did I do? Why am I sick? I'm such healthy, you know, such a healthy person. So, okay, what else is there? How do you feel? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Do you give yourself some time to grieve or to laugh or to connect with people? What else is going on there? Let's look at you 360 degrees. Let's look at you holistically. What is going on with your soul, your mind, and body? So that's when I started working with clients. And, you know, little by little, I built my practice. And, you know, people started talking about me. They were grateful to me. And hearing them say, Linda, you really helped me. My life has improved. I was able to change my lifestyle or look at my life in a different way, approach it in a different way, or integrate a healthier practice in my daily routine. It really helped them. And just hearing that gave me so much more than I had working for a company. You know, it gave me, it was feeding my soul. It still is. And this is what keeps me going, you know, getting that feedback and seeing how I really help people one-on-one. And it's very, very gratifying. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to work with people.
So it sounds like you're really living your passion, like you are following. Like a lot of people ask, like, how can I tell when my dream life begins? I would say your dream life begins when you start living your passion and you start doing things that make you feel really good. Obviously, if somebody comes to you and you've helped them, they come with a problem and you were able to help them with that specific problem, that's your reward. That's what gives you the all the energy that you need.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. It is the healing somehow goes both way, you know.
Yeah, and, you give it, but you get so much more in return.
Yeah, exactly that. And my goal is also to really get people to, you know, my clients and ask me, oh, how often should I come? How is this? I say, well, A, depending on what their need is. But I said, if you have a specific health issue that you're dealing with, I don't want to see you for the rest of your life as my client. I want to get you to a point where you're healthy enough that you aid, that you don't have to come. And also, I'd like to get you to learn how to take care of your own body. That's my that's a very, very big objective of mine. If I work with people, I want them to be able to do it themselves. I'm not going to be around forever. They might not be here forever. Like, I don't want to keep them as a lifetime client, you know. I want to work with them until they know how to take care of themselves. If they want to come for pure relaxation again, it's one thing, or if they have a different issue. But I don't want to create a dependency like one that is, for example, created by drugs, you know, like,
right.
Sometimes doctors say, oh, okay, you have high blood pressure. Oh, well, these are the pills. And yes, how long do I have to take them? Oh, this is for the rest of your life. Here's the prescription. Check in with me once a month and you get a new prescription, you know?
Yeah, but you know, the sad thing is nobody ever says, how long do I have to take it? They just take it. And they do it, and then they realize that they have to take it for the rest of your life. So in order to teach people and to kind of make them independent, you have some way that you do your teaching or that you actually can communicate with people that way? Do you do like some kind of workshops or classes or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have me, and meanwhile, I do have a little team that helps me out teaching workshops, which allows us to really teach workshops every month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every time a different topic, but it's always about health and how you can achieve a better health on a natural way. How can you detox and cleanse, for example? That's the topic for this month. We have a workshop coming up on Saturday, the 21st, from 5 to 8 p.m.
Detox and cleanse, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Detox and cleanse in a natural way.
How does that really relate to weight loss? Do you think, like, if you detox and cleanse, is that one way to lose weight?
Yes, it can definitely happen, because a lot of the toxins that are stored in our body is very smart. And
I know that.
our organs are vital. So what our body does is all the toxins that we put in our body, and which often also get stuck in our body tries to store them as far as possible away from our vital organs. Where is the furthest point? It's usually in our fat, in the outer layer. So the body puts a lot of toxins there, you know, at the first place. And that is why it's often so difficult to lose that fat layer, even when we work out, this and that. But there's still, you know, those love handles don't go away, or maybe on the legs. When we start doing a cleanse, and it can be a very simple cellular cleanse that we can start doing while we continue our regular lifestyle, that one can help already release a lot of toxins through the bloodstream while we cleanse our cells. You can do a very, very simple, let's say, lemon peppermint cleanse. Drink lemon in the morning and peppermint in the second half of the day. So the lemon will help to cleanse your cells, the cell membrane, the cell receptors, and then all that stuff that is kind of, imagine you're scraping off, you know, like when something gets rusty, for example.
Right.
You scrape it off, but then all that stuff is in the bloodstream. That's why in the second half of the day, you want to drink peppermint, which helps to detoxify and leave the toxins out of your body.
Mm-hmm. So that's really important. I think one of the things that people misunderstand is they listen to something and they say, oh, that's a great detox idea. Let me try doing that. And the result isn't what they want. And I'll give you an example. Like you said, doing lemon in the morning and peppermint in the afternoon. And so let's say somebody just does the lemon in the morning, which is what I did. And I took a half a spoon of lemon every morning and I got very, very sick. Well, it's because I didn't do the peppermint in the afternoon. I nearly died, because what happened was I was releasing all these toxins, but instead of leaving my body, all the toxins were now inside my body and they had nowhere to go. And so I was in so much pain and I got so sick and I couldn't figure out what it was until you just said that. I just did half of the detox, but I didn't do the other half. My God.
That's why they got stuck in your body. And that's why I also tell people, don't do it. Don't do the lemon part in the evening before you go to bed, because then they all get released into the bloodstream, but then they're all stuck in your body.
Exactly.
That's why it's so important to do the lemon in the morning, like first half of the day, and then the peppermint, so your body has time to get that all out.
Well, I think the important thing really is, before you start doing anything, come to a workshop, learn about it, and understand the entire process, not just pick out one little thing and say, okay, you know what, now I know enough. I mean, if you really seriously want to do it without getting sick, then like for me, taking the lemon without even knowing anything else, and now I'm thinking, okay, you know what, lemon is bad for you, it's not good, but that's not true. It's not true at all. So the key is to come to a workshop, to get educated, to know what you're doing, so that when you do it properly, and that way you really get healthier rather than sicker. So it's on Saturday the 21st. What time is it?
The workshop 5 p.m. We start at 5 p.m. and it will take last about until 8 p.m. We will have a little break in between where we can ask questions.
Okay, and also where? Where is it going to be?
The address is 76-05 Roosevelt Avenue in Jackson Heights.
And that's in New York, everybody. So if you are in California or in Australia, then you would have to take a flight over to New York. I would say maybe JFK and come over. So if you are in the local area and you're lucky enough to be able to drive, I say within 60 miles of it, it's in Queens. You can come and join Saturday the 21st, 5 p.m. at 76-05 Roosevelt Avenue. If you are not within driving area, I am going to try to talk Linda into doing something online so you can actually enjoy it, but we'll talk about that another time, another place. As for the 21st, you can come and learn about it. If you want to detox your body without any problems, learn first what you're going to do before you're going to do it. And that's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful thing that you're offering. And we're running out of time, but I do want to talk about something else, and I don't want to forget about it. And that is, I know you do a lot of things, and I know that we explained a lot of what you do in the previous interviews. So if you're interested in finding out what is Reiki, what does that mean? Is it Reiki or Reiki?
Reiki.
Yeah, it's Reiki, or what does a natural health consultant mean, or a Thai massage therapist, and when you need that, listen to the other interview that we did. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave the link right here below for the first interview so that you can actually interconnect between the both of those. And then there is something that you work with that's my personal favorite that I love, and that is the essential oils, because honestly, I would say throw out your perfumes, flush them down the toilet, and start using essential oils for perfumes. I know it has a lot of other benefits, and I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not really sure. You know a lot more than me. But one of the things that you could use instead of perfume is a deliciously aroma of essential oil that not only will make you smell great, but it's also not bad for your skin. So tell us more about the essential oils, because I know there's so much more that they can do.
Yeah, it's not only not bad for the skin, it's actually very good for the skin.
Exactly.
It's good for the skin. They are therapeutic grade, or that's what I recommend. Like, if it's really an essential oil, it should be therapeutic grade. And you can use them as a fragrance. Ancient times, Cleopatra already used it to seduce men and to accomplish other things. So she knew about the power of scent, of fragrances. And it's a very, very ancient practice. Also in the, you know, you find a lot of references in the Bible, anointing. A lot of oils were used to anoint. Gifts were brought to baby Jesus, you know, like frankincense, myrrh, and gold, which was balsam fir, as research indicates. So there were a lot of different uses since, you know, for rituals, and it doesn't have to be religious. Nowadays, we can use it in meditation. We can diffuse it. We can use it on ourselves. We can use it in massage. We can just rub it on if we have tension, if we don't feel well, if we get nauseous, and for every little thing, or even bigger thing, or for digestive issues, there's a different oil that we can use. But some oils, they cover a lot of symptoms that we can alleviate with. No matter if you don't like using it on yourself, you can just put it in a diffuser, you know, cold diffusion.
Right.
So a lot of different usages that we have, and they're natural, and don't, you know, they just add to a healthier lifestyle. No side effects. However, you have to know how to use them, not using too much either, how to use them, where to use them, and again, feel free to come to our workshops where we also teach about these things, how to use essential oils most effectively for a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a little bit of what you can use essential oils. And the other thing that's really important about using the essential oils is which one you actually use. So you happen to be using the one from Young Living, and I think that's a great one. But really be careful which one you use. Don't use a synthetic one. Why shouldn't I use a synthetic one?
Well, let me ask you, is your body natural or synthetic? Is it organic or synthetic?
My body?
Yes,
I don't know.
Your
I'll have
body.
To have a conversation with my body.
Exactly. So that's one question to ask. What is your body? And then our body is nature. Let me put it that way. Our body is nature and plants are nature. Essential oils are really the lifeblood, the essence of a plant. And mm-hmm. our body, as we said, our body is very intelligent. Our body recognizes what is synthetic and what is natural. If you don't mm-hmm. remember anything, remember one thing from this interview. Nature always recognizes nature.
Mm.
If we put something synthetic in our body, it might do a little bit here and there. It might give us a little bit, but not as much if we give it in the most organic form. And what I'm hinting here at is you might be familiar with the term bioavailability.
No, what is that?
Bioavailability means how much your body can use of a certain substance. Let's say we can, all the molecules that are like, let's say the chemistry of essential oils, that's a whole other topic we could talk about. But mm-hmm. the molecules can be reproduced in the lab. And mm-hmm. they might look the same under the microscope, at least at first glance, you know? It might have the same mm-hmm. basic structure.
Right.
However, it has not the same effect, and our body will recognize what is synthetic and what is natural. Because nature, there's much more than the basic structure, you know?
I understand. It's like when you take a vitamin that's synthetic, your body may not be able to actually use the entire vitamin, or maybe a small percentage of it, if any. And then when you take a vitamin that's natural and biological, obviously your body is going to identify and use it. So that's kind of the same idea, right?
Exactly. And that's what's meant by bioavailability. How much is your body able to use from what you put in?
From what you give it.
Exactly.
Right.
If you take a, let's say, artificial vitamin C, which is reproduced in the lab, maybe your body is able to get 10% out of it, maybe 25% if it's a better made one or if some other stuff is added. But if it's completely natural, your body will be able to absorb much more of it and use it.
Right. Right, right, right. That makes a lot of sense. So you said something really important here. And I think that's something that, like you said, take away. Nature always recognizes nature, but it doesn't always recognize non-nature. So that's the second
yes.
part. So if it's not a natural, then it might not really, it's kind of like when something is disintegrates, when you actually use a landfill and you put it with stuff that doesn't disintegrate, like plastic, it's going to stay there for a long time because nature is not going to absorb it
mm-hmm.
for a long, long time, maybe even thousands, if not millions of years. But if you deal with, so why would you want to put synthetic oil on your skin when your body is just going to either reject it, or it might even be harmful? Not
yes.
only will it not be beneficial, and you're doing it to be beneficial. So, yeah,
for the most,
I understand.
Two things I would like to mention quickly. One is most dangerous. There are some products out there, speaking about essential oils, And I even have a hard time calling it a product because it's actually, you know, it's nature. So we can find synthetic oils, we can find natural oils, and we can find the combination where they mix synthetic with
natural. Right, right.
Which one do
you think? How do you know?
The most, yeah.
You don't.
A few things. Yeah. If you don't inform yourself, you really have to do your research. You want to check what does it say? Because according to the law, FDA or other regulative facilities, you're allowed to call it 100% pure oil, even if only, I think it was about 25%, even
wow.
if only 25% is in there. So you have to be very, very careful what is in there. But let's say if it says inflammable or keep away from children, don't put on certain parts, like if there are a lot of warnings on, you already know something is off.
Okay. One of the ways to realize. Mm-hmm.
One of the ways. Another way is like if you smell it and it's a little bit funky or just like a biting smell, like, you know, you can trust your nose also. For instance, like something is off. It might also be either just diluted or like just mixed with some synthetic. And you want to stay away from that. Also, does it have a botanical name? It's important. If you just write, let's say, lavender on it, it, you know, everybody can say, oh, this is lavender, you make it purple. But if it doesn't give the botanical name, it's unlikely that it's natural. So you want to make sure that the name is, like, let's say for lavender, it would be Lavendula angustifolia.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to look out for that. And then, of course, you know, do your research. What else does it say? And you can see, can I ingest them? If you know you can ingest them, they should be pure.
Mm-hmm.
But you
okay.
really have to see.
That's
and then also,
teaching.
Like, where do they come from? But also on top, see, what can you find books on it? Is there a workshop? Do you have somebody who you can ask? You know, really do your research before you put it into your body, especially if it's mixed with synthetic. That is almost like a Trojan horse, because the essential oils, the natural molecules from the natural ones, are much smaller than the synthetic molecules.
Mm.
It's only on molecular level, but it makes a big difference, because the natural ones are able to get really into the deepest areas of our body. Essential oils are able to pass the blood-brain barrier, which
mm-hmm.
synthetics are not able. But if the small ones, the natural ones, get it in and it's mixed with synthetic, means that they get in the synthetic ones too, which we don't want,
right.
especially in certain areas. That's why the barrier is there.
Right.
You know? Again, like our body is intelligent, it's going to check, but if that's really like bringing the, you know, sneaking like the bad guys in, and we don't want that.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that. So we are running down to the last few seconds, and I'd like to hear what your last thought that you would like to leave us with, Linda. Thank you so much. That is a lot of really good information. I just want to say that if you do want the oils and if you do want to learn more about Linda, not only can you come to the workshop if you're in the area, but I'm going to have a whole bunch of links right here below where you can go and check out more and maybe even do a consultation with Linda. So what would be your thought that you would like to leave us with?
I would really like to encourage everybody who listens and who wants to learn more, read up more. Feel free to take the, you know, to all the listeners tonight, I do offer a 30-minute complimentary consultation. So please reach out. Don't be shy. Or even if you have a question, a thought, you know, we can discuss it. If you have a personal thing, I'm happy to hear from you. Feel free to come to our workshops. We have them once a month. Really, education is the key, and that is my part. The more you know, the better. What you do with the information, that's your part. But I would like to do my part and provide that information. If you act upon, this is then your decision, but do yourself the favor, learn, and make smart choices for a healthy and happy life.
Thank you, Linda, so much. And now we've come to the end of our time together here on Tiffy Talk. It's been wonderful chatting with you, Linda Schwartz. And we are definitely going to check out your workshops and maybe even take it further. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Tippi.
You've been listening to Tippi Talk. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. My name is Tippi Feldenstein. Today, you've been listening to me speaking with Linda Schwartz about health. And now I'm going to let you relax and think about your health choices and the things that you want to do and take up that generous offer that Linda offered for a free consultation. I'm going to put on some amazingly shamanic music so you can relax and energize with that, which will take you into a very high vibration. Have a wonderful day.